is because of 36 hours that the Oyer was gracious and thought Kadosh Baruch Hu was going, is it? So it was a day and a half, and then the second night it was a night. So we may look for that as 36 Neiris, because the Neir of Chanukah is connected to Oyer Agonis. That's what the Sefer Kehach says in Chas Chanukah and Yoni Chanukah. And I wanted to explain it a little bit. That's I wanted to understand what that Metzius is, that it's connected, the Neiris are connected to Oyer Agonis. Even though Argonus is an Indian that's somewhat deep out there, but the Choloifin, it's a Rashi, it's a Pasuk in Chumash that a child learns at five, and it says Vayavdil, and Rashi says Ra, that it's not good that the Oyer should be Mishtamish Bebuvia. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Oymid, and he was Goynezit for Tzadikim. So the Choloifin, it's a Rashi learned with the child, and Bemela, we have also a Tfis and Avonit, the Fiyar Keinu. I want to think a little bit about the inyan of the whole yontif of Chanukah is a strange type of yontif. It says, I mean, the yontif of Chanukah is the yontif of Bayis Sheni. That's what it is. There was a tkufa klal Yisrael with one stretch from Moshe Rabbeinu with Nevi'im and Malachim until the end of Bayis Rishon. Pretty much that was the tzura that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted of klal Yisrael. Beis HaMikdash, a Kohen Gadol Urim V'Tumim, Aaron, Eish, the Nisim that Hashoilet, that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted, and that's the Tzura. And that came to an end at the end of Bayis Rishon, and Bayis Sheni was a poor imitation of it. Bayis Sheni was Sachakol, it looked like a Mikdash, but it was lacking anything really of Chshivas, the main things, the V'Tumim, and the Maracha and the Orin, and all these things were not what they were. And yet the Novi says, Godel Yeh covered the Bayis HaZa'achrein, the Bayis HaRishrein, that it'll be a Cheshev Bayis than the first Bayis. And it's hard to understand in what way. I mean, in almost every way, I mean, in one breath you say that the beauty of everything was taken away from it, and yet Chage said that it'll be a Cheshev covered. I mean, where exactly? Point out where that makom is. And Chanukah, somewhere along the line, on the one hand, Chanukah to some degree Purim. On the one hand, it's a poor imitation of a yontif. There's no isum malacha. There's no real chi of suda. There's dinei suda. There's a later takana of halal. But it's lacking a lot in the tzura of yontif. It's an imitation of a yontif, so to speak. And Becholzeifen, there's something special about Chanukah and Purim that has in itself those inyanim. I'd like to try and understand a little bit, going back to the first point about what Nignas means. You find there are different inyanim that it says in that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was misnachim, that he made a Briya Kaviyachol. However you say the word, however you understand the Nichum, but Becholzeifen, which resulted in a Mabul, it resulted in shortening the lifespan. There's a lashon in Chazal that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was bein olam u'machrivan, and he said he didn't like this world, this world, until he made our world, he said deina hanili. So there's a mahalach where HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's a churim where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is machriv, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes away, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mimayit. However, we'll understand the inyan of hava mina maskana. B'cholayfin, it's an inyan where HaKadosh Baruch Hu got rid of something that shouldn't have been there, or the Bria wasn't fit. Over here, it says HaKadosh Baruch Hu hid it, he was going as it. He didn't destroy it, but he was going as it. I mean, we, L'moshel, a bus of Adam, if he has a chvayis, I have an expensive watch, and I don't want to wear it now, I'm going as it for a time when I'll need it, because I can't afford to buy a watch each time I'll need it. So I have to be going as it. But it's not the pshat by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If the oyer is not good now, I mean, shut the light off. He'll need a light. You'll have another light. What's the pshat that in the Mahalach? What does it mean HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going as it? So Rav Udna has his side. I saw someone told to a Mishnah Shkolim. The Mishnah Shkolim says that the Yud Gimel, the Yevonim made Yud Gimel pirates in the Beis HaMikdash. There are 13 places where there were pirates together, Beis HaMikdash, and connect them, they were metakin Yud Gimel Ishtachavoyis. They were metakin 13 ishtachavoyas connected those places. Kilu atikun, the way we spoke the last day or two when we were learning their mitzvah, it also makes it, it's very understandable, because Yavon's problem wasn't that it wasn't the chachma per se, it was the arrogance. In other words, it was, I am a chacham, therefore I am better. Therefore I understand and I'm not bound by it. That was the mahalach of Yavon's arrogance, and Ishtachavu is a tikkun pit. It says, Reb Hananya's Ganakarnim, the mishmer of Reb Hananya's Ganakarnim made a Ishtachavu Yudalid, Kineged Dir Shel Eitzim. A Kineged, where the woodshed was, Shekein Meseris Hibiyodim, it says, that Shom Nignas Ha'aret. So they had a 14th Ishtachavu that was Kineged the Mokrim, where the iron was Nignas. So interesting, it's not Masha to Machloikis, but if they had a Meseris, they had a Ishtachavu Kineged that Mokrim. So it's not the Pshat that it's gone, but there's a certain mahalach over there where it is, it's still a mokum avoida. The 13th period says the ishtachavo was a tikkun. It wasn't as covered, it was as to be metakin, the mokum of the piritza. The 14th ishtachavo was of a different type of ishtachavo. And let's understand it. The Maral says, when he speaks about, he makes a gematria of Yevonim, is a gematria of Heichol, and Kohen is one more than that. He says basically the Yevonim was shoilit on the Heichol, on the except for the Kodesh Kadoshim. Kohen is one further than that, and he's yonik from Kodesh Kadoshim, and that's why they were stronger, and so on. He does it with a gematria and so on. What it means is, when a person, for instance, let's say somebody is fighting a battle and he exposes all of his arms, so the fight is determined on that plane. For instance, if I pull out all my tanks and I fight the enemy, so either I'll win, or if I lose, everything's gone. If I have a stockpile of weapons that I don't use at that moment, I don't expose, then I can come back and fight a second day. Or, in the heat of the battle, I can reinforce myself. Whenever a person, the Yevonim were chelik on Klal Yisrael on a certain plane. If Klal Yisrael's darga is zelu maser, for instance, let's say a person, I'm arguing with somebody in logic. So if he's as smart as I am, the chances are 50-50, it'll be stalemate. So if I argue with him on Shittis and Ashkafis, so that's it, it's a stalemate, next step. If I have another Nakuda where to draw from, then that's where the Nitzachon comes from. In other words, Yavon being Zeh Lumaseh with the Heichel meant, on the level of Heichel, you couldn't be Menatzeach Yavon. From a deeper Nakuda, you could be Menatzeach Yavon, and that's the Nakuda where they drew from. A geniza means that it's something that's hidden from us. For instance, let's take an example on two levels. A person has assets. A person has money. A person has $100,000. He can spend it. He can use it. Let's say it's not his to use. Let's say it's frozen in some investment that he can't break it. So it's limited, but the person can borrow against it. Let's say it's hidden. A person is living under the Nazis, under the communists. He can't even, he's got a diamond. He can't tell anybody about it. He can't sell it. He can't borrow against it. Is there a tachlis to having the diamond around? And the answer is yes, because the person has hope. He can draw against it emotionally and say, you know, it's going to be a long haul, but when I get out, I'll be rich. I'm going somewhere with it where it's worth money. So the difference, both people right now have no access to the diamond. The person who has no diamond has no diamond. The person who has a diamond but is in a place that he can't show it, he can't whisper about it, he can't tell anybody about it, that person has something over the other person because emotionally he can draw on it. The future, the fact that it's there, means he can draw on it, and till the time comes when he can use it. Those inyanim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put into the Bria that are there for usage are overt, they're there. Those inyanim HaKadosh Baruch Hu was kaviyachol machriv, it's because it can no longer be used in any way whatsoever. Those are those inyanim that it says HaKadosh Baruch Hu was misnachim kaviyachol. The inyanim that were nignaz means that it's there. There's absolutely no mahalach to use it, but the person can draw on it at some level. It still is pale within the bria or within the person because it's gunas in the person. That's the mahalach of things that are gnuzim. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu took the oir away because to mix it with chayshech would run the risk of tainting it. If it would be on the same playing field as things that are choshech, the person would be it would run the risk of being metame the oir, of being mechayer the oir, and therefore you could not have it there together with it. But if it's gonos, means that there's still a mahalach where you can draw from it. At some level, you can be yoinik from it. The Yud Gimli Shtach Havoyes were connected to Pirkus the Yivonim. That was a tikkun. Those people who had no shaykhis, who didn't have a mesiris as to where the Aron was, it wasn't that they were chaylik. If they had no mesiris to where the Aron was, then they couldn't possibly be yoinik from it. And they had to stop at 13 Ishtach Havoyes. The 14th Ishtach Havoyes was connected to Mokrim. That was a get of avoida because there was an aron that was nignas, that's where it was possible to draw from to be loichem against Yavon. From the things that were nignas, that's where it was possible to be yainik and to go against it. The inyan of things in there's a lashon in the Gemara, it says shrage betira mehani. If a person has a candle in an area that's lit, in the sunlight, a candle is worthless. It adds the same amount of light, but there's no heker, and b'meil there's no chshivas to it. In a very pitch dark room, even a match lights up. There's the horror of a match is especially noticeable. Bias Rishon to Bias Sheni. Bias Rishon was full of oir, and b'meila, the metzias of Shechina pervaded the makom. So the covered up bias kishal atzmoi was a getter of shraga b'tiara. There was no, it was a candle in front of a sun. The Shechina was manifest over there, and b'meila, the fact in bias sheni. It says the Sfarim all are medayik that the inyonim that were nignas all had to do with oyer or with eish, the marocha, the vitumim, the oren, all the inyonim had to do with oyer. In the bayis sheni, the oyer went down to the darkest part. It was nignas. In its gneza, it shone much more. In the contrast, covered is always in the contrast between different elements. This person is more, if everybody's wearing a crown, then wearing a crown is just a hat. If one person is wearing a crown, that's where the nechbadus lies. Nechbadus is always the delineation of one element against other elements. Who's the most chashiv? Who is chashiv? And in Bayis Sheni, the oir that was nignaz, it certainly the Bayis Rishon was greater, but the kvod shamayim was bigger in Bayis Sheni, because the oil was dafkin amokim in the background of Machshakim or Shivani. I want to bring it, I guess, bring a personal hagosha down about the Inyan. Not long ago, I was in Eretz Yisrael. 2 weeks ago, I was in Eretz Yisrael, and I walked through Bati Midrash in Eretz Yisrael, and now I'm here. And it's not hard to contrast it in those musagim of what is it like in a place that's completely oyer, and what's it like in a place where all the inyanei kedusha are begalui, versus a place where it's not like that. Mitzad the metzias, not this particular makom, but the metzias sachayim, all of America has a layer of a certain amount of choshech to it. A person begins to be misasik, and I think for a lot of people here, the metzias is that the air that you take from Eretz Yisrael finds itself within an environment that's different, that's very different. Geniza, the yontiv of Chanukah is the yontiv of Golos. It's the bias that's there when there's a geniza of Eretz. Geniza is not stam hidden. There are two nekudas. Geniza is a certain avoida, how to be goinus things. The first thing is that a person develop mamakim in his nefesh. For instance, if you talk with somebody, so there is the level field of interaction. Everybody, how are you? Where's the weather? Where are you from? What do you do? Those are inyanim that everybody is part of that life. A person who's friendlier has a deeper layer of interaction, and so on. The depth of a person's feelings, you sometimes talk to a person, you get to know a person, and for some people, at some layer, there are private emotional inyanim people went through. So you understand why that's hidden, why that's something a person doesn't easily share with other people. Some people, when you get a sensitive mamakim, you get a whole world of Torah, a religious feeling. The person thinks about things, the person has deep hargashas that it doesn't share because they are in the mamakim of his nefesh. The person there are thoughts that he thought about that are so meaningful to him and with such depth that it doesn't share it easily. It says, in Kelm, the Beis Musaf Kelm, it was considered someone who could speak an Eidel and Akuda for Balabatim is puzzled, because it shows you have no chshivas for it. It's a word. If the word has any meaning to you, has any special beauty to you, you'll only tell it over to a person that appreciates it, that understands it, that you can share it with. Geniza doesn't mean you throw it, you dump it. Geniza means there's a mokum very deep in the nefesh that's a mokum kibul for it. And you usually discover that a person who has finer hargoshes, a person has deeper hargoshes, and has those genizas, copes with things outside a lot better. Because the world outside is assaulting his chitzonius. In other words, he wants to feel like everybody else, he wants to be socially accepted, it's important for work, you're drowned by what you have to do. If your religious hargoshes are as deep as that, then the butl b'shishim. Because, you know, my religion was the davening I did, the learning I did, the mitzvahs I did. So if today I'm drowned out, that I don't learn much, the davening is very rushed, and for good reasons. Einas Rachmana Patris is all the way. Pa'alim, a potter from Berchervias, all of the correct. But if there's nothing more than what's left of him, if there is the whole mitzias of Chanukah, the whole mitzias, it's a whole new phase in Klal Yisrael, where there was a sunset of Shechinah. And the Shechina had to be nignas. If a person doesn't know what Geniza is, if a The person has no depths where to hide it, so his only choice is to dump it. And it's almost like at this stage it's almost late to tell it to a person, but if a person doesn't have any depth himself, if a person is arguing with an outsider, a fire person, a guy, whatever it is, and the level of his religion is the level of that person's argument. Prove it, not prove it. Approve Torah, he has science, he has codes, he has this, he has that, and that's it. So one good argument, you're gone. I mean, if you're an Ish Emes, then what's left of me? You know, I had 6 proofs that Hashem exists, and this person has 24 proofs that he doesn't exist. So, again, if I'm an Emes person, I should just fold my bags and go. But if a person's real achiza in Torah is the feeling that he had in Torah and the depth of his hagosha in davening and the depth of his hagosha in mitzvahs and so on, so the argument is an argument. Fine. Yes, no. I mean, if somebody has a very deep kesha, if somebody has a normal relationship with his parents, and someone will argue with him that his parents are not worthy of such a relationship, it's stupid. I mean, you can argue from today, you can argue until tomorrow. It has nothing to do with it. I mean, you didn't touch the mokheim where is poil. And the second, so one thing is, the only way it'll ever work is if a person builds Torah, mitzvahs, davening, everything about a yeshiva, he builds it in deep into himself. There's a place in himself that has that he can be gone as it, even when on the top it's not there anymore, it's still gone as inside. And the second thing is that it's something a person can draw from. It's a marker of his, like the person has a diamond sewn in when he's in prison. Right now it's worthless. He can't use it and he won't use it, but it's there. And when the day comes out that he goes out of prison, it's still his. He's infinitely richer. It's one of the things. I grew up with the Dor that came out of Europe, pretty much. I still know a lot of people that learned there. And on the one hand, I'm always, you know, I think a lot of times it's over-glamorized. Many of those people were Amaratzim. Some of them were real Amaratzim. Many people were not always Zohar mitzvahs. And to look at the chshivas at that door, I mean, there was a Naki Olam that we don't even begin to have a saga. But by and large, there wasn't the mile of the door that was. There was something, his Yiddishkeit was so deeply built into him. The way he said a bracha, the way he said something, was a different. There was something different. His instinctive feelings were Yiddish. There was something inside him that hadn't been touched by anything. And yes, I learned a lot more, and I did a lot more mitzvahs and very nice things. The depth of my religious personality did not begin to have the depth of their personality. There was no geniza in Le'umas what they had. That's the difference between such a Yid and such a Yid. That was, to me, it was clear that somewhere along the line, they gave in whatever was the Kedusha and whatever was that they gave in. It was something about being Goyinism in the flushes of people. The first thing is a person has to do it as a Tzedel Aderech, and it means focusing and getting the depth of feeling and sense of what he's doing. Second thing is, even when a person is in a matziv where he can't cannot do anything, he knows he's carrying something with him if he has those genesis. And the third thing, I remember, I was actually, somebody just put out a book about it recently. I was thumbing through the pictures last night. When I was in Russia 18 years ago, and there was under the communists, and I was there for a week before I went to shul. You weren't supposed to go to shul till the last day. And it was such a Finster place in every way possible, besides the fact that there's obviously no religion anywhere except for very clandestine and hidden. Everything was choshech. People were bitter. Everything was drab, gray. The word choshech really, really took on a meaning of its own. The last morning I went into shul, and it was late there. It was So it was, I guess it was like a quarter to seven, it was still dark outside. And there was a Yid saying a shir, as Yid Reb Getzel Valenskis, it was the sweet and last people left over who still knew, who could still learn something. He was an old literature Yid with all the warmth of a literature Yid. And so he was sitting with six, seven old people saying a shir in Yiddish. And then came time to daven, he got up to daven, and he done in a beautiful, beautiful, all literature nusach, full of emotion, but without overt, no dancing, jumping, just every word just came out, is saturated with teichin. And it was coming in the backdrop of a week that was so dark, so filthy, so muddy. I pushed it, stood there transfixed. I'd never heard such a beautiful davening in my life. It had to do with his own, the volume of feelings that he was saturating the words with, and each word was rolling off with completely, but, and more than that, it was the backdrop of the choshech around it. When a person goes through that tkufa, when a person goes through the tkufa where he's really drowned out, whether it's college work, whether it's shidduchim, whether it's getting started, or nesiyonos, and there's plenty and plenty of them, but a person should know that if he's able, whatever he does bring out, if the davening, if he focuses on the davening and he just lets the feelings roll into the words, if the person allows the 15, 20 minutes, half hour, 2 hours, when he's learning, when he's into it, when the person is, has a spare Shabbos, a spare Friday, a spare Sunday, and he sits in a base medrash, and he peeks at his gnozim, and he lets it light up what he does have, then it's true. You're lacking the ha'ara and the ayra of the previous time, but the covet of that bias, the godly covet of bias, the covet of that little diamond that he has in the back of a choshech, that's the bezundra chshivas of those moments and that time. And it's something that to us, to everybody sitting here, it's most relevant yontif, that we can take from that there is no in the tkufa when nothing exists, it's not churban shemema, it's gniza, it's the zman of gniza. And as much gniza as a person prepares in himself, and as much as he learns to treasure that the gniza that he has despite the fact, and as much as he, and whatever he does express, it has the beauty and the covet of those base gnozah.